I understand. No, I understand. And last of all, he plays Dinky Bell. This man has had a career as long as there's been a sun. He is astounding in his talent. He was a number one box office star, I don't know how many, 7 or 8 years in a row. He's played Shakespeare. He tap dances. He broke our hearts as Andy Hardy. Please welcome Mr. Mickey Rooney.
Everybody's rolling.
Look at the movies that he did. First, he you know, as a producer, he produced High Noon, Death of a Salesman, and then as a director, we're talking about On the Beach, we're talking about Judgment at Nuremberg. So how does he come to direct this movie? Was it a script to him? Was it his idea? Well, how?
No, I think what happened. He was having lunch in New York with Bosley Crowther, who was, of course, the top critic for the New York Times. And Mr. Crowther said, you know, Stanley, he said, we critics, we all get together, we talk about your guys all the time. And he said, but we all decided, you know, that you're probably the most influential filmmaker of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. But there's one thing we all agree on. And Stanley said, what's that? You could never make a comedy. So Stanley looked at him, and there was this long staring contest. And Stanley said, oh yeah? That's all you had to say to Stanley. You couldn't do something, and he was going to prove you wrong. This film was originally 5 hours, okay? And it was edited to 4 hours with intermission. So he set out to make with every comic that was alive at that time, and I think he accomplished a great feat. I think it's a fantastic classic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was... It was good casting to have the comics who were alive. I thought
that was good. No, there was a few, like Bob Hope didn't get in, Lucille Ball didn't
get in.
That
was my question. How do you cast this movie? I mean, this Buster Keaton is in this movie. The Three Stooges are in this movie.
Really?
Did anyone turn you down? Did anyone turn you down?
No, the point is, this incredible ensemble cast.
Well, it's more than an ensemble. This is a town. There's 110
sexual girls.
There's 110 speaking parts, I think, in the movie. And all funny.
But they all were attracted to the creative energy and genius of Stanley Kramer. And I'm sure that a lot of them were happy to share the screen with Spencer Tracy.
Yeah. Well, that's a Mickey. You spend most of your time. No, no, you spend most of your time. No, no, it's the same. You spend most of your
going somewhere.
Yeah. You spend most of your time in the movie with Buddy Hackett.
Yes, I know. And what a tremendous gentleman and a great comic.
You know, what was that like? Because you know, those of us who love Buddy, you know, was there anything that didn't make the screen because it wasn't appropriate?
Well, I think that anything you could say about Buddy Hackett would be appropriate.
And John, you up?
Are you awake? Oh, where are you?
John, this is
the camera.
This was your first movie.
This was my first movie? Almost my last. Not because of the movie and the cast, because of me, I guess. No, I wanted to work. People are probably wondering, I hope they are, some of them, maybe four, why I have this cowboy hat.
Why have you got that?
I'll be right with you. This is Stanley asked me, of course he was kidding, I didn't know that. He said, I'd like to have you for High Noon. What a part. You beat the life out of Lloyd Bridges and Hey Now, and can you ride? And I said, not well, but I can ride. I'd rather not. you can go out of town with Grace Kelly, Sulky. So I said, God. And by the way, you pick up $1.2 million, you'll be on the picture in about 3 months. And I said, geez, I sure like $1.2 million. Can you shoot? Mm-hmm. Straight. I was in the Marines, and I was. I don't care about that. My parents didn't know. They thought I'd run away for the night. I was gone for years. Anyway, I said I qualified expert with a pistol. So they said, well, this is a 40-45. This is not a, So I said, I'm shooting. So then I said, you know, when he puts that watch, because it's called High Noon, he puts that watch in his pocket, or he picks it up, looks at it. I don't want a fake. I want a Patek Philippe. or a Rolex. I said, hey, they're not even going to see that. I'm going to see it. So consequently, Gary Cooper got the part.
Now, Marvin. Marvin, you're in the scene as one of the biggest funny scenes in the movie when Jonathan wrecks the gas station that you and Arnold Stang, two muscle men. What was that like working with John in that scene? And how long did it take to shoot?
I worked with two geniuses in my life. One was Charlie Chaplin. The other one is sitting next to Jonathan.
All right.
I was not the first choice for this part. Jackie Mason was signed for this part, and he gave Mr. Kramer his nightclub schedule, and Kramer fired him. and they needed somebody in a hurry, and my agent sent me the script, and I said, you know, I almost got killed reading the script. I read like the Manhattan phone book. And I said, you don't expect me to do all these stunts, get thrown through a plain glass window. And Myers, my agent, was buying Michigan, and he said, Marvin, your deal is that you can do all the stunts that your partner can do. And I said, who's my partner? And he said, Arnold Stang. And I said, Arnold's the biggest coward in the American world. And he sets to do a stunt. There was a stickler in it. We didn't know we had to work with an ex-Marine named Jonathan Winter, who wanted us all to do our own stunts. So we sat on the sideline hoping that Jonathan would get hurt. Just a little bit so he'd need a stuntman. Sure had been in rehearsal, he sprained his back. And Arnold and I looked at each other, and we knew we'd have to have stuntmen as well. Well, it's hard to find a stuntman for Arnold Stang. He was about 5'2", and they finally got somebody who did chimps. Trees. And he was living a regular life. But the problem is that Arnold had a very small chin and no shoulders. And his stuntman had huge shoulders. So they had to build up Arnold's shoulders so he'd look as good as his stuntman. I got a stuntman named Bill Maxwell, a very handsome kid, but thin. And they put my glasses on him, and he walked into a tree. They kept putting padding in him, so because I was fat, and they wanted him to look fat, and I kept taking it out because I wanted to look thin. Great show. And it's become part of history. Marsha, I never thought I would ever achieve that. But it's about greed, and now greed is a national pastime.
How many pages was the script? Do you remember?
William Rose wrote the script.
And how many pages do you remember, Marshall?
It was about 400 pages.
You know what's amazing is I don't see your lips move.
I've been married so many times I got rice marks in my face. I've been married so many times my ring fingers turned into a thumb.
So Marshall, let me get Was that Dick's choice?
Maybe. I don't know. Wait, what I'm doing here with all these comedic geniuses? Straight ones are great, that's why.
You're wonderful in the film.
But, I was given, Sven Kramer called me. I was in Sweden, and they said, get on this plane because Stanley Kramer wants to see you. And so, that's something you don't say no to. And so I got on the, you okay?
My cane is trying to steal his spotlight.
Anyway, yeah, so I found myself in this film. And I had worked with Dick before in Opposite Sex, so I knew what was going to be going on. And which is, he's brilliantly funny and all over the place. Everything's moving all at the same time. And so I was very lost in what to do in that scene, and I don't think Stan liked me. I don't know why I was there.
Of course he did. Why wouldn't he like you?
I was just darling in the movie. Anyway, I found myself with Dick, and I didn't know what to do, and I asked a friend, I talked to a friend who said, well, you're in a beach shack, and you're not with your husband. So you're probably stoned. That sounded good to me. So that came about. I said, okay, I'm going to do that. And so I did it deadpan. And what Dick said afterwards, the filming, he said, well, I was doing all that stuff, and nobody looked at anything but your legs. So,
well, I was 15, and I did too. Carl, you're a great comedy director. You're on.
Oh, yeah.
So what was it like working with Stanley Kramer, who was known as a great dramatic director, and how many films had you done at this point?
I don't know, quite a few. But I would like to say that he gave me no direction. I was in that tower.
In the tower.
I would like to tell a story about being the traffic controller with Paul Ford was the main traffic controller. And this is my memory of it. My memory was fear. Absolutely true. We're in traffic control. Paul Ford is on the microphone, and he's screaming at Buddy Hackett, and they're piloting a plane with a dead pilot, and they're coming toward the tower. Piloting the plane was a guy named Paul Mance, one of the great stunt pilots in the world. Paul Ford goes out onto the parapet outside the tower and is trying to wave at the plane. He falls off the tower and is hanging by his cord. He's hanging there. So it's up to me to come out and continue to try to get control of the plane. This is true now. Now you're me. Paul Mance is coming at me, and I'm waving the plane away like this, waving, sticking up, and a plane is coming at me. This is the plane coming at my head. This is coming right at my head. And I'm waving it away, and I literally, Paul Mance, and I could see it, it might be 300 feet away, and I'm waving like, and he's coming right at me, and at the last second, he does what all great stunt pilots do. By the way, I'm waving, and I actually touch the plane. What happened is, at last second, he turned the plane this way and sped past my head. Well, the biggest laugh in the whole show, you watch the show today, you'll get big laughs. The biggest laugh in the whole picture is a laugh I got that is not on screen. 200 people, extras below us in the crowd, all screaming and yelling. There are 200 of them, remember, and they're screaming and yelling. Now, the big joke in show business is that when you have a take that is not on your face, it's doing, in other words, when an actor wants a real good close-up, is a far shot, and the joke of the actor always says, you know, after the shot is over, makeup, meaning, why don't you get it closer? I can have some makeup, because you couldn't see me. So I know the camera was way down at the bottom, taking the whole shot. I knew they couldn't possibly see me. It was just a figure waving. So I yelled out at the end, after they say, cut, I yelled out, underwear!
It's interesting. And what I was very thrilled that Stanley Kramer asked me to do all the advertising for the Mad World. I did all the radio commercials and television commercials, and I put a lot of these guys in the various commercials. And anyhow, at one point, Kramer said to me, Freeberg, what size shirt do you wear? I said, 16 and a half, 35, but why do you ask? He says, I'm putting you in the movie. So what he did is he put me in a scene as a policeman with Andy Devine. And so my wife, Hunter, the first time she saw the movie, she was screamed with laughter when she saw this young Freeberg sitting there with Andy Devine in the police station. And that's how I ended up in the movie, as well as doing all the advertising.
I have one memory that just flashed in my head. Jonathan Winters, who I considered a force of nature. Jonathan Winters. By the way, before I ever interviewed Mel Brooks, on the set of the show, I interviewed him all the time, and he just never stopped being funny and making people laugh. But what intrigued me about this man is he sat quietly all day long while everything was going on, and he had a knife in his hand, and he started with a block of wood, a square block of wood about 3 inches by 3 inches, and he whittled. He kept whittling and whittling, and we didn't know what are you whittling? He wouldn't say what he was whittling. He just kept whittling. Very quietly, when nobody was around, he was still whittling. By the end of the, he had whittled, and this, very few people can do this, maybe a chicken can. He whittled a perfect egg, a beautiful egg out of this hard block of wood. Johnny, do you still have that egg?
I've laid so many sisters.
I don't know.
Well, I think on that note, we should thank these amazing people.